Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
By a simple show of hands, how many of us ate something for breakfast? Okay, pretty much the vast majority, I would say. Although the experts are not in complete agreement, they usually say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. For largely different reasons, the breakfast in today's gospel reading is important, and as we reflect on its account of the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead, we realize that in some sense we also can have breakfast with the resurrected Lord. Thus, the theme for the sermon this morning is breakfast with the resurrected Lord. Today's gospel reading picks right up where last week's gospel reading left off. As we heard last week, on the evening of the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and again a week later, Jesus miraculously came and stood among the disciples who were behind locked doors. Today, we heard how Jesus miraculously revealed himself again to a majority of the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, recalling a time some 3 years earlier, recorded in St. Luke's gospel account, when Jesus gave the disciples an earlier miraculous catch of fish in a similar way on the same sea, and afterwards called the disciples to catch people. By this second miraculous catch of fish and the breakfast that followed, Jesus moved the disciples from not knowing that it was Jesus to knowing that it was the Lord. Today's gospel reading does not tell us precisely why Simon Peter said to the other disciples that he was going fishing, or why the other disciples, some of whom we do not even know to be fishermen, said that they would go with him. They had gone back to Galilee as Jesus and the angels had told them to do, and they may have simply wanted to pass the time until Jesus directed them further, or they may have been hungry and lacking other means to feed themselves, wanted the fish to eat. The all-knowing Jesus' question from the shore asks doubtfully whether they have anything to go with bread, such as the fish that was a staple of the Galileans' diet. Jesus moved the disciples from trying to feed themselves to being fed. In the gospel reading, Jesus himself provides them with fish and more. And I do not mean fish and more in the Long John Silver sense of French fries, hush puppies, and coleslaw. Jesus invites the disciples, come and have breakfast. We can probably imagine how good fresh fish and bread off of a charcoal fire would have been after working hard all night and being frustrated by not catching anything. But more than the provision of food and rest for their bodies, the resurrected Lord invites them to come with repentance and faith and have, as it were, table fellowship with him on that beach. The disciples could turn from their grief and sighing, sins and sorrow, fear and failure, doubt and denying. The disciples could trust God fully and freely to forgive them for the sake of the resurrected Lord, who came to them and took the bread and fish and gave it to them. Jesus likewise invites you and me, come and have breakfast. Come with repentance and faith and have table fellowship with him. The Holy Spirit enables us to turn from our sins, to trust God to fully and freely forgive our sins for the sake of the resurrected Lord, who through his called and ordained servants gives us bread that is his body and wine that is his blood, and so reveals himself again to us. In the revelation to St. John that we heard as our epistle reading today, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and thousands of angels praise the Lamb who was slain but lives again. For by his blood, ransoming or redeeming people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The death of Jesus, the God-man, on the cross was for you and for me, so that he might purchase us from our slavery to sin. Jesus' resurrection from the dead shows that God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. As we sang in today's psalm, the Lord has mercifully and graciously drawn us up from the grave and hell that we deserve, that we may sing his praise and give thanks to him forever. And most of us first experience that rescue for sure at the baptismal font. In today's first reading, Saul, the great persecutor of the church, at first did not recognize the resurrected Lord, who appeared to him on the road to Damascus. But later he was given sight and understanding, passed through the waters of holy baptism, and taking food was strengthened. Our experiences are similar to his and to the disciples' experiences of the resurrected Lord. The Holy Spirit works through his word in all of its forms to enlighten us with faith, forgive our sins, and strengthen and preserve us in body and soul to life everlasting. Today's gospel reading especially leads us to this altar and to its rail, where those who are baptized and individually absolved are admitted to have fellowship with the resurrection Lord, whose body and blood are present, distributed, and received in bread and in wine. Early Christian imagery of the sacrament of the altar even used pictures of bread and fish and seven people eating to connect this gospel reading with the Lord's Supper. And our English word breakfast apparently even comes from the idea of fasting, going without at least food, after the evening meal of one day until the receiving of the Lord's Supper the following morning. And that communion breaks or ends that fast. Many of us may be familiar with booths that are sometimes set up at carnivals or parties, at which children cast a fishing line over a divider of some sort, and someone on the other side attaches some kind of prize to the end of the line. Such prizes are not caught, but given. One commentator on today's gospel reading points out that in the gospel accounts, the disciples never catch a fish without Jesus' help. The same may be said for us. Everything we have is a gift from God, including our faith and the good works which follow from our faith. Are all the gifts that God gives us any less notable than the 153 large fish that filled but did not tear the disciples' net? As the disciples were instruments in that miracle, so are we instruments, in a sense, in the miracles of our lives. We work in the various callings that God gives us, and through them or in other ways, God provides all that we need to support these bodies and lives. As Jesus did with the disciples in the gospel reading, God, for a time, may delay his help and gifts to us. But in so doing, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther notes, God urges us to call upon him in prayer more and wait for when and in what way he will help and give us his good gifts. As one of the hymns selected for today's communion distribution puts it, Jesus sees and blesses in worst distresses. He can change them with a breath. Most experts say that people who skip breakfast are disproportionately more likely to have problems with metabolism, weight, and cardiac health. People who skip this breakfast with the resurrected Lord have a different kind of health problem. For here, in a far more important meal, our resurrected Lord invites us to come in repentance and faith, have breakfast, and so receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This morning's closing hymn is apparently new to the Pilgrim congregation as a whole, though perhaps not new to all of us individually. Its author, Anglican priest Timothy Dudley Smith, reportedly for several years had wanted to compose a hymn text based on today's gospel reading, until he finally did so while on a vacation in southern England, where his frequent visits to the beach of Poldhu Cove helped inspire his hymn of the resurrected Lord's appearance on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. We conclude now with the concluding stanza of that hymn, focusing on our Lord's presence in his supper, this morning, every morning, and for eternity. Morning breaks, and Jesus meets us, feeds and comforts, pardons still. As his faithful friends, he greets us, partners of his work and will. All our days, on every shore, Christ is ours forevermore. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.